Good Saturday afternoon and welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'll only poke fun at him one time, but I feel like I'm sitting beside myself 4 years ago. And we'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, hey, it might snow. You might get a little ice tomorrow. The thing that boggles my mind is why people don't appreciate the cold weather. Pete, why? You know, you're a lifelong South Carolinian just like me. You know, we're thin-skinned, thin-blooded, yeah, like every Southerner. But I love cold weather.
I do, too. I mean, winter is my favorite season of the year, so I don't understand why everybody wants to just rush through it all.
Yeah, and get to summer. Because let me tell you, folks, when you get into July and the heat is 95 degrees, the humidity is 98%, you're going to think, gosh, it was 20-something degrees back in January.
No, it was nice in January.
It was nice in January.
Yes. Yeah, I hate the summer. It's just so humid and hot down here that like I said, the winter's my favorite season, yeah, so I really enjoy this cold weather.
Yeah, so people, just enjoy it. We have four distinct seasons in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And appreciate all of them because they all bring something that none of the others do. Yeah. Hey, now's a perfect time to be out working, you know, on tree stands and shooting lanes.
It is.
This is why hunt clubs do this stuff in July. I have no clue.
I've never understood it. I've always thought that January, February is the best time to be out there scouting because there's no leaves on the trees. Yep. You can see the woods really well. It's the best time to move your stands if you're going to do that, to clear your shooting lanes, your access paths to your stands. This is the best time to do it because, like you said, it's not hot. When you're out there working, you just kind of stay comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, you're not dealing with snakes, ticks, chiggers.
That's right.
Mosquitoes, poison oak, poison ivy. I mean, the litany of things you're not dealing with right now.
Exactly.
Makes it worthwhile.
It really does. It really does.
I had an appointment with a chainsaw, pair of lopping shears, and a bush axe myself this week.
Mm-hmm.
And slightly sore still today.
That's not hard to do at your age.
Oh, yeah. At my age. Okay. That's it. I'm going to put you on the spot now. Okay. No. Yeah. Pete, you're one who Pete Rogers is a good friend of mine. I guess we met in 2014, kind of got to know each other over the last 3 years or so, gone to a couple shows together, one of which we're going to talk about today, which is the ATA show, the Archery Trade Association. But we've kind of, I think you'd say we probably cut from the same cloth.
Pretty much so, yeah.
Take just a minute. You don't like talking about yourself. Well, that's okay. You're going to have to, for like 15 seconds, tell us who you are, what you're doing, how long you've been writing, who you write for, and where people can go find some of your stuff.
Okay, well, yeah, I started writing for the outdoors back in 1999, so it's been about 19 years now.
Okay.
I do a little over 100 stories a year for a lot of different outlets. I've been in a lot of magazines, the Sportsman's Magazines, Game and Fish, Fur Fish and Game, the magazine of the Turkey Federation. I also write for a lot of websites, do some product reviews for 1-800-GEAR.com and 1-800-GUNS-AND-AMMO, and also one called Shoot Own. It's actually shoot-own.com, where I test products, kind of give my opinion about them, run them through the ringer and see how they hold up or don't. And but yeah, I've been doing that for a long time and really enjoy it. I do.
And your day job is kind of cool, too.
Yeah, I'm very, very blessed. I work for the USDA as a trapper here in Greenville County, and I really, really love it. I do.
He's a beaver getter.
Yeah.
I think that's why he likes this time of the year, because he loves to go after beavers.
I do. Well, that's my job.
Yeah.
With the USDA is I trap beavers that are threatening roadways.
Okay.
And this is the time of year when they're the most active, so it gives me a lot to do, and I really like getting after them. I do.
You got a book coming out, too.
I do. In April, it should be available in April. It'll be a hardback edition of a book of stories on turkey hunting, and the book's titled So You Want to Hunt Turkeys. And it'll be just a collection of stories that I've written through the years about turkey hunting. And there are some how-to stories in it, but it's mostly about why.
Okay.
Why do we hunt turkeys? What is it about this bird that just draws us into the woods and kind of gets under our skin? But it'll be coming out in April as a hardback, and the ebook edition will come out in May. So those will be available.
And I'd say you probably enjoy turkey hunting more than most other hunting?
Yes, I do. Okay. Yes, I do.
I thought I'd be safe saying that.
I really do. There's something about that bird that just, it's just magical whenever they're gobbling in the springtime morning, and then when they slip away and you have to stay after them, you're always learning in the turkey woods. I love the challenge of it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just too doggone tired in April to be able to put the effort into it, but I mean, I've been turkey and I've killed a couple. Mm-hmm. It just never has bit me like a lot of people I know. And I don't understand that.
Well, because I read the book.
Well, I will. You know, a signed copy from a friend would be much appreciated.
Okay, we can probably work that out. We can probably work that out. Well, the first chapter deals with just what you're saying.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, why turkeys?
Why
what
turkeys?
Is it about them that that captivate some and not others?
I don't know, because it doesn't do anything for me. It never has.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy being outdoors, whatever I'm doing.
Right.
But I don't know. And who knows? Maybe that's a character defect. I don't know. But, yeah, Pete and I are going to talk about the Archery Trade Association. He's got a best of. I've got a best of. Some things that are affordable. Some things that are practical. Some things we just thought were really cool. And we're going to get to that. But first, I need to take just a few minutes. A couple of things for the calendar events, which is brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center, which is hosting the upcoming Bassmaster Classic. And now less than, like, 5-6 weeks now. So getting really close. Mm-hmm. Pete, you're going.
Yes, I am.
Hot dog.
Be my first one.
Can introduce Pete to the world of bass tournaments. Be fun. Oconee Station State Historic Site is going to have a frontier encampment coming up February the 10th, 10 a.m. to 3 o'clock. Meeting place is the historic buildings there, what to bring, water, insect repellent, if you need it, sunscreen, depending on what the weather is. But just a cool thing to go to as a family deal. I understand the Oconee Station Historic Site's nice. And, of course, you're up there in the mountains where it's going to be kind of cool. As you need cool any more than we got right now. The first annual Wild Game Dinner, New Hope Baptist Church in Ennery, South Carolina, Saturday, February the 24th. Starts at 6 o'clock. Doors open at 5:30. Of course, these Wild Game Dinners, you never know what you're going to eat, do you?
Yeah, they don't have a clue. I mean, I've seen some really exotic things at these dinners.
It's usually always good, too. The guys that cook this stuff, it's not like they just throw it out there. They do it because they enjoy it.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Canadian geese. The only way I could ever eat those was stripped, deep fried, and Cajun seasoned. Just our geese down here, just not like the ones up north. Josh Carney is going to be there. Son of the South. You know, he was in an accident, paralyzed. He's going to be there. He's a big turkey guy, too. Menu included but not limited to deer, pork, alligator, squirrel, and chicken. I'm sure there'll be a lot of other things in there, too.
They have to put chicken in a Wild Game Dinner.
maybe it's a free-range bonus chicken.
It must be.
Anyway, that's coming up February the 24th. New Hope Baptist Church in Ennery, South Carolina. If you're interested, the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School over in Glendale, South Carolina, which is just east of Spartanburg, is holding a wilderness first aid course. Entry-level training for outdoor enthusiasts. It's a two-day course, $195, February 24th through the 25th. And you're going to cover, and I always like this because it's a 16-hour, two-day course for people who want to get certified, whether you're a scout troop leader, you know, hey, maybe you're going on a week or two long camping trip. You just want some of the stuff. But they feature also, it's a solo course, so it's an approved national course. Anatomy of a wildlife crisis. How to identify a crisis. Backcountry essentials. Cold and heat related injuries. Patient lifting and moving. Rescue plans. Soft tissue injuries. Sprains and strains. I'm going through a little sprains and strains today. And it's good. You know, Glendale now is associated with the local hiker in Spartanburg. The Silvermans have kind of taken that over, and I think they're going to do a good job of it. Speaking of the Silvermans, we need to get them on and talk about hiking. And, hey, summer's coming up. You know, they got that ice cream place over there in Spartanburg. It's supposed to be pretty good. So those are just a few things to get you started. There are lots of websites, SCI Way, National Wild Turkey Federation, Quality Deer. All of them got banquets coming up. If you've got a church or something that's having a wild game supper, hey, shoot me an email, roger@woodsandwatersc.com. Let me know. I'll get it up here on the calendar. Maybe we can turn out some more people to come out and experience why we all go out in the woods and do what we do. Because a lot of it is about eating what we bring back in.
It is.
Most of it is.
Most of it is, yes.
And the experience.
Yep.
Can't leave out that experience. All right. Hang on through the break. Be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina. We'll jump into this Archery Trade Association stuff on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. 2016. I guess it was winter of 15. Old Pete called me up and said, hey, you ever been to Archery Trade Association? I said, nope. He said, you need to go. So in 16, January 16, we made the road trip. Actually, we were supposed to ride together, but I had something happen.
One of your daughters got sick or
something. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, she had pneumonia.
Yep.
Taylor had pneumonia, so I had to hang back, and I left a day later or something. But Pete was kind enough to let me tag along behind him to kind of get my feet wet at the Archery Trade Association. Didn't make it last year. You went. But this year, got in the car, drove 1,100 miles or so, ran in some snow, ice, some back roads.
Yeah, they always have it in January in the coldest cities in
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't go to Orlando then, but we like the cold weather. So
that's where the fishing crowd goes, to Orlando in July. Right. And everybody goes, why can't they go somewhere cooler in November, you know? But, hey, we had a great time. Stayed in really nice. The Westin Hotel's really nice. Had the crosswalk there. You didn't have to go outside if you didn't want to. Ate some good food.
Yes, we did. The ATA is my favorite show of the year. It really is. I mean, I go to several of them, but it's my favorite because it's strictly hunting.
Okay.
You know, like when you go to SHOT Show, it's all these other things that are involved with military and law enforcement. But the ATA show is strictly hunting. It's only archery gear and all the peripherals that go around archery hunting.
Sure.
But it's also a lot of other hunting gear, and you don't have any of the other things outside of that. There's a little bit of target archery, but not very much. That's usually dealing with targets and things of that, things of that nature. But everything else is strictly hunting. That's why I like it so much.
It's pretty cool when you go there. All the bow manufacturers have shooting lanes.
They do.
And so you can go shoot this, that, the other.
Every new
the
bow.
New, the old.
Every new bow, every new crossbow that's coming on the market, just get in line and make sure and take your release with you because you have to use theirs if you don't.
Yep.
And they never fit. But take your own release, and you can shoot every new bow out there if you want to take the time to do that.
I did a lot of that in 16. I didn't do much this year. I shot the Prime, their new split limb bow, and that was the only one I shot. I just didn't feel the need this year.
Well, I didn't shoot near as many. I did shoot the Matthews bow. This will probably shock some of the listeners. The first time I've shot a Matthews.
Because you're a Prime guy.
I like the Prime bows. Yeah. I really do. I have several of them. I like the Prime bows. They fit me real well. They shoot really well. But I've often said, you know, I've shot them all that are there.
Sure.
And Prime is one of my favorites. The other one would probably be a Hoyt.
Okay.
The Hoyts are really good.
Which is what I shoot.
Yeah, Hoyts are really good bows. Hard to beat them. But you know, all these top brands make really good stuff.
Oh, they do.
They do.
They do. It's hard to pinch a nickel between the two of them.
It really is.
It all comes down to feel.
Yep.
The mechanics and the accuracy and all that, it's like a rifle. They're all good. It's just which one fits you the best.
Exactly.
Which one do you like?
Some people like a hard back wall. Some like a soft back wall. Some like a bow that's easier to draw. The cams are smoother. It becomes a personal preference. And for me, I like I said, I shoot the Primes because that's the one I like the best. But if I wasn't shooting that, I'd shoot the Hoyts. Their reworks is a really good bow this year.
There you go. Well, I do this with ICAST and Pete, having been ATA with him, it's just a natural fit. And he comes in here and we talk about our best stuff because both of us, he wrote about his and I've done pictures and I'm going to start releasing my pictures of the best of over the next few weeks on the Facebook page. But best of, let's hear your first one. And obviously enough, when we got in here, we started looking at each other and there's only one on both lists. So this is going to be fun.
There's only one item on both lists. Yeah. But, you know, where we were talking about turkey hunting a few minutes ago, and that's one of my passions. And unlike a lot of people that turkey hunt, I don't use decoys. But as I was going through the show, I saw this decoy that Killer Gear was selling. And they make decoys for pronghorn, for elk, and also turkeys. And it's a really neat concept. And I saw it. And I talked to the gentleman about it at length. And I tell you, I was really sold on it. I'm anxious to try it. And this particular decoy is called their lightweight turkey decoy. This is the Jake decoy is the one that I like the most.
Okay.
It's actually built on an umbrella frame. So it collapses really small, fits in your pack or in your vest. And then whenever you feel the need to deploy it, you just open it up and it just boom comes into a strutting Jake, and it has a 3D head on it. It's made out of some kind of silicone, I don't know. And then inside the handle is a retractable stake. It's on a bungee cord. You pull it out, stick in the ground, and the Jake covers you right in front. there's a three-way zipper in the middle of it that you can unzip and slide your gun or shoot your bow or just peek through. Another neat feature about this decoy is you can put a GoPro-type camera on it. There's a window for your camera lens to shoot through, so you can video the entire hunt right there. And they even sell the adapter that mounts onto the frame. Really cool concept. It's only about $125, if I remember correctly. But I like the portability of it. I like the three-dimensional head on it. I like the fact that I can hide behind it because I don't like to hunt out of blinds. I'm more of a run and gun guy. I like to chase the turkeys. And this is something that I can run and gun with and still use to bring that Tom in whenever he gets hung up.
And it was neat. I can always tell when Pete's excited about something because he could, hey, where are you? I'm like, I'm over here. Come here, you got to come see this. So yeah, we go over here and we look at this and all. And yeah. he tries to sell you on it.
Yeah, so, it was a good product.
It was a good product. It really was. I mean, I'm not a turkey hunter and I can see the benefit of it.
Yeah. Their website is turkeyfan.com. Okay. So you can go to turkeyfan.com and they have this Jake decoy and also an older gobbler. It's a full fan decoy as well. And there's some cool videos on their website that shows how they can just completely move in on the turkeys because they're hiding behind the blind. It's a good product.
A good product. I like the obvious. And for me, going through the new product showcase or whatever, there was something there. I was like, goodness gracious alive, how many times have I wanted something just like this? And it's called a Bino Bandit. And so I went around and I find the guy, Darren, is the guy. He's at Alpine Products. I found his booth and I went in there. And just simplicity at its best. $14, $15, $20 for them. But it's eye cups for your binoculars. Now, Pete over here will tell you that Zeiss has eye cups on it.
No, it's Steiner.
Steiner, I'm sorry.
Steiner,
yeah. Steiner. But how many of you have been looking through your binoculars early in the morning, late in the evening, and you get a little intrusion, light intrusion from one side to the other, so you're holding your binoculars with your left hand, you cupped over your right eye, and you're trying to focus and hold with one hand? This is you. It's a simple piece of neoprene. It's actually sewn where it cups around to the outsides. Two holes in it. You slide those over the eyepieces of your binoculars. Put them up to your face. Perfect seal on both sides for the most part. I might have a rather wide head sometimes, and it fit me just right. Mm-hmm. Let my daughter Taylor try them at home. Fit her just right. They got a little buckle on them, so when you're sitting in the stand, you can buckle it over. It'll cover your eyepieces, keep the rain, sticks, and all that off of it. Just one of those things that, how many times have I been sitting there in a stand late in the evening, hiding from the sun on one side, trying to see something in the dark shadows on the other side, and this is it.
And you get that glare on the lenses, and you can't see as well. Yeah,
just that little bit of ingenuity. And he said, man, I got about 50 patents on stuff like that. I'll go ahead and kill the other one. The other one's Sight Slicker. It's just a little neocreme bag, slides over the sights on your bows. It's got it. What's really neat about it is it's got a one hand cinch and a one hand release.
That's huge.
So there's no zippers or anything like that. It's just you slide it on one hand, you pull it tight with the tab. No, with the strings. I'm sorry. You grab the strings to tighten, and there's a tab there. And you pull the tab, releases it. But like I said, you both of them are under $20. I mean, you got three or four pair of binoculars. I can afford to outfit each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those things that's usable. We talked about this earlier.
Because, they make sight covers for tournament archers. For travel and transportation, but when you're walking through the woods and it's
right.
or if you have a mist or a drizzle and everything gets wet, it's good to keep those things protected. It really is.
I mean, I've walked how many times I walked through the woods going, especially early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
And you can't really see vines hanging down, that sort of thing, and you're like trying to hide mm-hmm. that sight.
That's right.
From everything.
Right.
This just and all it does is protect those fiber optic cables inside the sight, mm-hmm. your pins and all. So that's one of my top ones. Really inexpensive. Really usable and something that everybody would get some benefit out of.
Mm-hmm.
Not just your turkey hunters like
right,
Pete over here.
Right. Another one that I really like, I like to look at the tree stands. It's always amazing to me how many tree stand manufacturers there are out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I don't know how they make any money. There's so many of them. But Hurricane Safety Systems has started making accessories for tree stands.
Okay.
And they came up with their Gravity Forward ladder. couple years ago, which is a great product. But what I saw this year is their tree stand power lock. And what it is it's a way for lock-on stands, ladder stands, any permanent stand or semi-permanent stand to be fastened to the tree. And it makes it more secure than just a strap. It comes with a 72-inch chain that goes around. And then there's a it's a proprietary system, so you can't really see exactly how it works. But there's a hook with a bolt on the other end, and inside of that is like a cable with a little winch.
Okay.
And so you use a ratchet and tighten up the chain with the ratchet. And what it does is it, as the tree grows, if you leave it up all year long, as the tree grows, then it'll expand with it. Instead of the chain digging into the tree or the strap growing into the tree, it expands with it. And just a couple of turns, and you can loosen it, take it off the tree. Really nice system. It's a lot safer than a strap or the, you know. Now, they say this is not to replace a strap.
Okay.
This is to be with
enhance
the strap. Yeah, it's to enhance it and to make it even safer, because that's their whole focus is to, it, that's why their name, Hurricane Safety System, is to make the tree stands safer to use. It's a good product. It should be out, I think he said, in May.
Okay.
The time frame, and it has a 300-pound weight capacity. I'm trying to see if I put the price in here, but I don't remember what it was. I remember it was under $100.
Okay.
Though, you know,
okay.
Very affordable price. It seems like it was in the $40 bracket.
And, you know, and something like that you don't need until you need it.
That's right.
You know, and you won't think about it before you need it.
Exactly.
For the most part. And there's a lot of companies out there now that are really going after the safety side of it.
Yep.
You know, realizing there's lots of stuff out there, but safety is where we need to be focused on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a good product. It really is. And I'm the type of person where a lot, because I hunt the same ground.
Right.
I've been hunting the same ground for, 18 years now. And I leave my stands up all the time. So every other year I'll go check them and check my straps.
You're talking about replacing straps this year.
Yeah, I got to replace my straps, and so I'll be putting this safety lock on there.
Very good. Well, that's just a couple. We got a bunch more. Pete says, we'll never get to them all. I said, sure we will. Well, he may be more right than I am. We'll just have to see. But, all right. So, just a couple out of the way. More when we get back. So, hang on through the break. Back with more Pete Rogers and the best of ATA. Turn it up. Welcome back to More Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you hung through the break with us. If you know an archery guy, you need to get a hold of him. Tell him to tune in. There's some things for not only archery, but for hunting in general. And this next one is one of those that's just, boy, if you hunt in South Carolina in August, September, or even in October, Pete will tell you if you turkey hunt, you need one. And that company that makes these things is Thermacell. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I bet I've got 5 Thermacells.
At least. I don't leave home without it. I will not leave
home without it. Well, I leave home without it, and that's why I've got 5.
Yeah. Well, if I am going hunting and I realize I forgot it, I will go back and get it.
Well, I'll go buy one. Because
I'll
usually
go get
I'm far
that
away
before
from
I go back and get toilet paper. That's how important that is for me. I mean, I will not go hunting in South Carolina in warm weather without a Thermacell.
It's one of those things you only do without it once.
Yep.
And if you survive the onslaught of the mosquitoes, you'll never
it's
forget
a great
again.
Product. I mean, it totally revolutionized the way we hunt in the South.
In the South.
It really has.
They got a new one out this year. They always kind of upgrade. And 2 years ago, they were upgrading the packaging of the old kind of smooth green thermocell into the gray square and kind of like the tactical thermocell, I guess you would say.
With the neon blue light.
With the neon blue light, yeah. Okay, they kind of turned the corner here. Radius Zone. It's no longer a butane cartridge and a blue wick.
Right.
A blue pad. Now, what you got now is you have an actual liquid thermocell and a wick that burns, that, you know, through the use of a lithium battery, burns off the
the same stuff.
The same stuff that's in the blue pad. It's just kind of a liquid format.
Yeah.
What, maybe 4 inches tall?
Yeah, that's
almost
about
square.
3 by 4, probably.
Yeah, and maybe an inch and a half thick or whatever.
Yeah.
Neat idea. I think in a year or two, once they morph a few improvements on it. He did tell me they have a holder coming out, be out next year. I think it's a great thing. You get the refills for it you can get. I think normally it's like 6 hours is how long it works.
It's an 8 hour and a 40 hour.
Well, but I'm saying the charge itself is a 6 hour charge.
Yes, yes.
And they have
an
8 hour and a 40 hour refill.
Yes.
The 8 hour is what, $8 or so. The 40 is like $20.
That's right.
But the charge of 6 hours will fool you because it does have a recharge port. So if you have a battery pack or something you take hunting with you, you can actually charge it while you're in the stand.
Yes. Yes.
So, which is really nice because now you can stay all day. I'm assuming if you've got a 40-hour refill, you can just sit there for 8, 9, 10 hours a day and hunt relatively mosquito-free.
Yep.
One of the drawbacks I saw, I love Thermacell, but this is the first time. It's a two-piece design.
Yeah.
It pulls apart. It's got four magnets to hold together. Now, they're cool little magnets, and they're pretty tight and all. But if you did kick it off the stand, it would come apart when it hit the ground.
Yeah, it would.
The nice thing about that is it does have an automatic shutoff.
Yep.
So if it does get knocked over and comes apart or whatever, you're not sitting there, you know, burning through your wick and your battery life and all that, it does shut off as soon as it comes over. But I do think that's one thing. I think if you're gonna get one of these when it hits the market this summer, you know, for your average hunter, you know, pull out some duct tape. Stick a couple
or
of pieces
some Velcro
of
or
something to keep it together.
A lot of hunters don't like Velcro for the noise. But, you know, it'd be one of those things that we need to really look at and see how can we hold the pieces together. Where can you put it in your stand or in your pack so that it doesn't fall over? But I will say that the best part about that system is this past summer I went fishing in Canada.
Yep.
And one of the things that I learned in doing that is you can't fly the butane cartridges.
Okay.
And, of course, we were flying to Canada up in northern Ontario to go fishing. And so I contacted the outfitter I was going with. I said, can I mail you some butane cartridges? And he said, no, you can't. You have to have special hazardous material, and it costs more to ship it than it does to actually buy it. So we were stuck with when we got across the Canadian border trying to find somewhere to buy the butane refills. And that's one of the things when I spoke with the people at Thermacell about this product, that's one of the things they were trying to address. Is so many people fly to Canada to go bear hunting in the spring or fishing and they needed something that was more, that would be FAA approved.
Yeah.
And this is what they came up with. It'll be interesting to see how well it works. If it's like anything else Thermacell's made, it's going to work fine.
Sure.
And it's going to keep the mosquitoes away. But for a traveling sportsman, this is the way to go.
Yeah, and from talking to the gentleman in the booth there, they're saying this is, while it's the same active ingredients in the blue pad, now they think that the delivery system is so much better.
Right.
That they're thinking it will be even a better repellent just because of the delivery system improvements.
Right.
So,
be a little more consistent with that.
Yes, consistent. Yeah. That's right. Wind won't affect it.
Yep.
Anything like that. It's supposed to be a lot. And you can find more at thermacell.com. I think they're going to retail for about $40 a piece. But it'll take you through some of the improvements, like it tells you a little bit about the lithium ion battery, rechargeable. It's scent free, of course, weather resistant, housing and everything. I don't think you have to worry about it being out in the rain. Of course, fast acting. The refill. The longevity of the refill, the auto shut off, you can actually set a timer to let this thing come on and go off on its own so you're not sitting there burning it. Because a lot of times I've noticed when I'm going in hunting, as I'm, I guess for lack of a better word, when I'm sweating profusely, the mosquitoes are a lot more attracted to me than when I've been sitting in the stand for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. They tend to start leaving me alone after about 45 minutes of just sitting there. I guess your body core temperature comes down. You stop putting off all the odor and pheromones
or
whatever.
Another thing, too, is you forget to turn off the butane.
That's
and it just keeps burning and you're wasting it. And it's just wasting it. And, you know, it's in the back seat of your truck coming home, and it's still going. With
still
this
going.
One, you can set it to turn off in 4 hours.
Yep.
And then it turns off, and you save all that juice. So
I always love going to the Thermacell booth.
Yeah, me too.
Good people and good products.
Very much so. Another thing that I saw that was it was the buzz of the show. I would say.
Oh yes.
Yes. Primos Double Bull Blind. You know, Primos bought Double Bull years ago, and they're some of the best ground blinds out there for guys and gals who like to hunt out of ground blinds. this is some of the best out there. But they have developed what they're calling their surround view 360 blind. And I am here to tell you, that is an impressive design. Roger had to show it to me. He called my attention to it.
So you gotta come over here. I was really excited about this one.
And you got to see this. Crawl in there. You're not going to believe what you see. So I crawled inside the blind and looked through this new design mesh, which is
it's a PVC mesh.
Yeah, it's a PVC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And it's like a one-way mirror. You can see out of it just like you could the old mesh, but you cannot see in it at all. I mean, you put your face right against it. Cup around your eyes, and you can barely see any image through it. So you feel like you're totally exposed.
You do.
Sitting in it, but there's no way an animal is going to see you in there, even without a back wall.
Yeah.
Without a back wall, you cannot see through it at all.
The only thing I noticed was when I could see a line on the one that was 360.
Yeah.
Now, because they make three different models here. They make
The 360, 270, and 180.
And all that refers to the 360 has four see-through walls through it. The 270 has three. In other words, you got one black wall. And the 180, you got two black walls and two see-throughs. And in the only one, the 360, you couldn't see what was going on, but you could see a black line, or maybe a line, an outline,
a faint
shadow or something when you were looking side to side in it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to give you a bad mental picture, but I felt really exposed when I sat down in the thing, because you're not used to being able to see except through the windows where you're going to see
the little portholes.
That's right, your portholes.
That's right. The 270 was probably the one that I personally would use because you have that back wall, and I can't see 360 anyway. So, when I use a ground blind, I put the back against something where I don't expect it to be able to see anything. So I would sit back in there with a black shirt on all the way up against it, and I feel confident that it's something that would take some getting used to because I'm used to just having cracks that I'm peeking through instead of a totally exposed window. So it would be, but it is, it's 60 inches by 60 inches by 70 inches tall. It can easily hold two hunters, maybe even three.
Yep.
And the people I spoke with who do videography said that doesn't affect their ability to film through.
To film through the blind.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I didn't talk to anybody like that.
Yeah.
Portability, 20 pounds.
Yeah.
21, 22 pounds.
Yeah.
For the whole get up and just pick it up and move it.
Yep.
I'm not a ground blind person. I mean, when I sit here and say this was a showstopper, it's not because I like ground blinds. I've never hunted out of one.
Right.
But I mean, it was the hum of the whole ATA show.
I'm not much of a ground blind person either, but when I started taking my children, I started using ground blinds because they can fidget, they can get in there, they can lay down and go to sleep.
Sure.
I think it's a great way, safe way to introduce children to hunting and to the outdoors. When I started taking my son turkey hunting, we hunted out of blinds. When I started taking him deer hunting, we hunted out of blinds. And so that's what I use it for. But now my children are older, so I don't use them as much. But a lot of people do. It's a great product.
But you make a great point. You know, a kid in a tree stand, a regular ladder stand type tree stand, I mean, a Mexican jumping bean, ants in their pants, whatever. Yeah. It's hard to concentrate in deer hunt. But in something like this on the ground where you ease, you're not worried about safety getting in and out of.
Right.
They can do whatever they want to, color, you know, read, look around. $299 for the 180, $400 for the 270, $500 for the 360.
That's the same price as the regular Deborah Bulls.
And I think, I do. I think this is one of my favorites, even though I'm not a blind guy. I love this concept. And the roof is waterproof.
Yes, it is.
It's waterproof.
Yes, it is.
All right, hang on. We're going to get through a few more in the last segment. Appreciate Pete being here, and time flies. Hang on, through more Woods and Water, South Carolina. One of my favorite songs of all time, Wanted Dead or Alive, Bon Jovi. Now he's getting old. Have you seen his TV commercial? He's into some TV commercial. The dude's getting old. Of course, I look in the mirror, I'm getting old too. Okay. Yeah, he's in our class, isn't he? Ah, good stuff. Continuing, Best of Archery Trade Association 2018 with Pete Rogers. I'm not a boat fisherman. I understand it's a lot of fun. I have someone who wants to take me as soon as I have a few spare moments, going down to Lake Murray, shooting some carp. Now, I understand you have to be careful. Grass carp, common carp, got to know the differences.
Yeah, in South Carolina. There's not many grass carp in Lake Murray, okay. if any.
Well, there are some. There are some because she said you have to know which one's which. Cause
you do.
The gar's kind of fun. You know,
gar's, I enjoy shooting gar more than I do carp.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's big gar in Lake Murray.
Oh, there's big gar.
There's big gar in Lake Murray.
My aunt lives on Lake Murray. I grew up down there in the summertime catching them on striper. Oh, gosh. What was that? Red striper swiper. Red and white topwater pop.
Or the red fin.
Red face, yeah.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Anyway, if you bow fish, and there again, this is just one of those things that just, you know, it takes somebody with a lot of creativity, and boom, you have this product. It's from newarchery.com. It's called Own the Night, Bowfish and Aaron Broadhead. Essentially not a broadhead. It's a cutting point.
Yeah, it's a bow fishing tip.
It's a bow fishing tip. And what would you...
Your traditional bow fisherman uses a Muzzy tip.
Right.
And it has that Muzzy trocar cutting tip on it.
Right.
That's threaded. And when the arrow goes through the fish, you have to loosen the thread, spin the barbs backwards, and pull the arrow out, and then tighten it back up.
And this one right here, it's spring-loaded, which doesn't matter on them as you shoot it because it goes through and you've got the same barbs or whatever.
The same barb design. Yep.
Keep the fish on the arrow. But this one, when you get the fish in the boat.
There's no more thread in it.
No more thread at all. You hold the arrow, you push down on the tip. It's got a piston spring inside of it. And as you push down on the tip, it rotates the barbs downward.
Yep. Backwards.
In other words, backwards. And you pull it out.
That's right.
And it glows in the dark. Hey, the shaft is
and then all you have to do is flip the barbs back in their normal position, and it locks in place.
And you can do that by pushing the tip again.
Yeah.
So it's all based on this spring piston that's inside the head.
Great design. Yep.
And just...
I can tell you, having bowfish for years, that I have lost so many tips in the heat of the moment when you're screwing it off and you flip it around and when you jerk it, the tip falls into the lake and now your air is no good. So this has solved that problem completely.
$20.
Same price as any other. And it has the slide built on it.
That's right. Your line slide is built onto the shaft.
Yep.
Now, one thing they did tell us there at the show, that wasn't the finished product. They were going to put some kind of rubber bumper around the back of the shaft of the arrow, so when the line slide hit the back, it wasn't hitting
the knock
of the arrow. It was going to have a cushion there. So that was one thing they were going to improve before it hit the market.
And that's made by New Archery products.
Yeah. NAP, N-A-P.
Yeah.
And just one of those things that you just...
Why didn't somebody think of this sooner?
And it's going to sell itself.
It will. You know,
it really will.
It will, especially since it's the same price as the other one.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about losing the tip of the arrows anymore.
And just push it.
Yep.
They reverse, push it again, it comes back locked, and you're ready to go.
As a big bow hunter and target archer, one of the things I'll always look for are targets. A lot of guys out there and gals will use the 3D targets, and all those are good. And we can talk about some of those. And bag targets have gotten real popular. The block target and layered foam or even the Reinhardt sealed foam targets are really popular. The thing I personally don't like about those is the size of them. They're only 18 inches square. And if you want to do some long distance shooting and you're shooting an $18 arrow at an 18 inch target, I'm thinking, I hope I don't miss because there goes a lot of money. So I always look I've been looking for a better target. And I ran across a company called 365 Archery. They're out of Michigan. And they have a target that really caught my eyes. Really neat. It has 48 inches in diameter. And it has, they have two different designs. One of them has a 10 inch cube that is the center. And it's six sided. So you can shoot all six sides of that. And you just slide the cube out, rotate it, slide it back in. And it gives you a center target to shoot for. They have another one that's identical to it, but instead of having one center, there are five of those cubes scattered throughout the 48-inch diameter. And that's a great target. It's very portable. It comes with I forget what it's made out of, exactly what the outside is, but it is some kind of sealed foam, it says. And it's about $400, which is expensive. I'm not going to lie. It's expensive. However...
How many of those small other targets are you going to throw away over that time period?
I typically shoot through a block target in a year.
Okay.
So a block target costs $150, and I'm through it in a year because I shoot a lot.
Right.
And I don't shoot broadheads into my block targets either. I'm just shooting field points, but I shoot a lot, and I'll shoot where I'm blowing through it in a year's time. So every year I'm spending $150. All right. And that gets old. And so so when I saw this, I asked the guys, how many shots can this core take? And,
okay.
And they're guaranteeing that each core, because it's six-sided, will right. take over 10,000 shots.
Good gracious.
So if you buy one with five of it in it,
yep.
you can that will last you a decade or more.
Yeah.
Especially if you take care of it and keep it out of the weather. It's a great target.
And that's reminiscent of, in 2016, the Glendale Buck.
Yeah.
Target one of those that you have
yeah.
that you were pulling me out. You got to come see this target,
yeah.
and that was one of those things where the core of where you're shooting the vital zones
yeah.
was four sided. You just yeah. rotated the sides, and the way it was designed was each core was printed on a different side.
That's right, in a little bit different area.
Different area, yeah. and it was good for
a lot
five,
of shots,
8,000 shots or something.
Well,
like
I
that.
Got one that year, and I'm still shooting.
Yeah.
Glendale Buck does really well for a 3D target. That's a good choice.
It's a good choice.
It's a good choice, but. Because of that, because you can rotate it yeah. around, and I wish it had scoring rings on it for the 3D archers out
okay.
there. But I just take a 4-inch circle and draw it on there for my 10 ring, and then take a quarter and circle that where they go. You know,
yeah.
it's not hard to mimic that.
And this target's made by who again?
365 Archery. That's the name of it, and their website is 365archery.com.
Is that one already out on the market?
Is
that
it is.
It's already out there.
It's already
okay.
out there. Yeah. They also, even though I'm talking about the 48-inch model, they have smaller versions as well.
Okay.
And you can buy just the cube core if you want the small one.
There you go. A lot of the stuff when you're there, you have to watch out for it. Whether it's on the market, it'll hit the spring, summer, or even next winter. A lot of these things won't really hit until like up to October or whatever.
Right.
One more from my side. Cases. You know, you're going to spend, I don't know, on average $700-$800 for a bow, a couple hundred bucks for a sight. You got a dozen arrows you want to take with me at $6, $8, $10 a piece. Broadheads you're trying to protect, sights you're trying to protect. You got stabilizers in there and all that, and you got to have a thing to carry it all. I'm not a fan of the average plain oboe case. I mean, they serve a purpose. They're good. But I'm always looking for a good a case that I'm comfortable with, like I'm comfortable with my rifle cases, protecting the optics on my rifle, keeping it safe. And SKB is man, as far as cases go, they're probably the premier manufacturer
of good product.
Bow and gun cases. But I look, they have one there. It's the I-Series 4719. It's nice about this is it has dual layers to it. The bottom layer can be wide open if you want to carry a second gun, a second bow down there, have a double bow case. It has dividers that you can arrange with Velcro to the bottom to divide at the bottom. So if you want to take your quiver off, you have a compartment for your quiver. You take your stabilizer off, you got a compartment for your stabilizer. You got a box for your broadheads, got a place down there. Your release can go down there. Anything else you want to store in a bow case, you got a layer of closed foam cell that goes in there. It's flat on one side, and it's got the egg crating on the other side. And then your bow goes on top of that. You lock it up. It had some really cool locks on it. The case locks itself, and I took a picture of them, and I can't remember the guy told me what they were. But you actually, instead of just grabbing the handle of the lock and flipping it over, you have a spring-loaded latch that you grab and you pull them together, and that releases it together without the friction
okay.
and the wear of
okay.
a regular case lock,
right.
like what we're used
right.
to.
Right.
It is, yeah, $350.
Is it airline approved?
Airline approved, has built in locks, not just through the plastic. They're got
metal.
Where
you can put a padlock on it.
Where there are metal where you can put a padlock through them. Got four of them on each case.
The last time I flew with a bow is the airline required me. I had to go into the airport to buy a padlock, even though I had key locks on
right.
the case. They want to see a padlock
yeah.
on it. So,
yeah.
yeah.
So just a great case. If you're going to invest, I don't know, $1,200 in a bow, buy one case that has wheels on it.
It's good insurance.
It's good insurance, so you can roll this thing around. It's just a good case. Yeah, it was a little heavy, maybe a little big, but, you know, whether you're in a truck or driving to wherever you're going to hunt, going through the airport is something that you're not going to be worried about your equipment getting damaged. And just like that, we got like 2 minutes left, Pete. Well, where did time go?
It goes fast.
I mean, just quickly, just name off some of the others that are on your list. I got a couple more here, too.
I had Yeti, great products. They've come out with what they call the Backflip 24. It's a bag cooler with backpack straps on.
There you go.
Great product. And 10-point crossbows, their Stealth NTX is 6 inches wide when cocked. It is amazing, 430 feet per second. If you're a crossbow guy, look at this 10-point.
Good stuff. I'm always on the search for the perfect pack, and there is no such thing as a perfect pack. It's all what you. But Badlands had one out that is called the Dash, $200. It's got reinforcing rods through it, lightweight reinforcement rods, keep it expanded, hydration, compatible. Something that you could go to and from the stand where you not feel like you're taking, half of what you got in your closet
with you. Right.
And we'll get to this, but a LimiShield. I got a real education on scent control at ATA this year. So a LimiShield is what Hunter Safety Systems treats their safety harnesses with and all.
Okay.
And you can throw them in a sealed container, lock them up, wet, open it up a year later, there's no mildew. It's that kind of – and they've transported that over into scent.
I need to put that in my son's laundry basket.
I never had boys, so I wouldn't know about the locker room syndrome that my mom put up with.
It's
and your
not
mom
a real place that I can tell you.
Well, look, Pete, I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to do this again.
Yeah, I hope so. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's really been good. I want to leave you if I got just – yeah, we got some. Harry Selby died. Harry Selby was a safari guide in South Africa, just a great guy. Took Robert Rourke on a safari, Rourke's first one. Rourke wrote a book, Horn of the Hunter. Look at that. Music's already up. I have to get back to this one later because I don't want to rush this quote. It's just a great one.
It's too good, but
it's the hunter's horn. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you'll be back with me next week. As always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget your camera. Back next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.